Welcome to the Leadership Podcast with Pastor Sam Carr. Here you'll learn godly principles and real-world techniques for leading effectively.
Hello, everyone. I'm Pastor Sam Carr. Welcome to the podcast today, and I've got my lead pastor. I like that lead
like
pastor.
That.
John Welch with me today. He's been everything else. Been a friend, been a pastor, been missionary, all sorts of stuff.
And now look what I get
now
to do.
Now look what you get to do.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So it's good to have you today, John.
It's good to be here, Pastor.
John, during our Freedom Crusade back in July, we had a question and answer session.
Yeah, we did.
And
good.
We had a list a mile long of questions.
Sure.
Which we did not get to.
That's right.
Very many of them. And so we started a few weeks ago just answering questions.
Right.
And so I thought we could just kind of stick with that. But what's interesting is that out of that, we've actually had other people send us questions.
Okay, yeah.
Some of these, I just want you to know, we're going to get to them. It just may take us a little while.
Yeah, just hang in there.
Yeah, because
we do have
a number of them that we're going to be talking about, and we may even have to deal with a couple of these at the same time. But one of the questions here is, how do you lead a church from an aging, older church to a multi-generational church that is reaching and empowering young people? How do you do that?
You got to get some young people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, bottom line, John, that's the answer to the question.
You got to get some young folks, yeah.
You can't be multi-generational if you don't have younger people.
Right.
Now,
right.
One of the good things about our church is that we have a good group of young people.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
And we have younger people on staff,
mm-hmm.
including my daughters and son-in-laws that they're here and others. But I think you have to start being intentional about what you're doing.
Yeah.
If all you do is spend your time catering, so to speak, to one generation,
right?
Then that's all you're going to ever attract.
I absolutely agree.
And yeah. If that generation, especially if you're an older pastor, for example, and you're just ministering to your generation, then you're not going to ever. Basically, I don't mean to be ugly about it, but you're going to die with your generation.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want that to happen.
No, that's not going to happen.
And
right.
and so you have to. Not only be sensitive of the people that you do have, you don't want to run them off.
Correct.
In fact, I know a particular pastor who he got all fired up about this and wasn't going to have anybody on staff. I think it was over 30, if I'm not mistaken. Well, the problem was he was in his late 50s.
Nope.
But he fired everybody but him. And, well, the problem with that is that all the people who identified with all these other people – they left too.
Right, right.
So it really hurt his church.
Yeah.
I think the key to this is you have to let people in your church who are older, whatever
right.
that may mean to you,
right.
you need to tell them why you're doing what you're doing.
That's perfect, Pastor Sam.
You know,
absolutely.
You yeah. have to say, look, we've got you. Okay, you're here,
right?
You know, but we've got to reach another generation, and so if we change some things to reach this other generation, don't feel like it's an affront against you.
Exactly,
you're participating in something that's going to reach another generation.
Absolutely, yeah, Pastor. I was thinking the same thing. You have some of the younger generation in your church. It's good to sit down with them and give that vision, and then those that have their seasoned folks, you also shared the vision with them,
right?
And then you bring them together
sure.
through that vision, and
yeah.
you can't consistently communicate it. And even like in your weekend services, you know, you always lead with a why. Why we're going to lean it, the music we may lean it, you know, for a younger field, even mm-hmm. the lights, we're going to lean it a little bit to that
right.
younger generation. We're not going to peg it, so to speak, but it'll always have that lean. And I think you're exactly right. If you'll just with both age groups, if you lead with the why, the vision behind it, then they'll just jump right in. And
well, a lot of older people really want to be purposed. They want to have a purpose.
This is true, absolutely.
And I think sometimes we do an injustice to an older generation by, instead of giving them purpose, we want to make them comfortable.
Right, right.
And so what I have seen, and 'cause we're really trying to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
and so what I have seen is that the older generation they're glad to see it.
Absolutely.
They're excited,
they love it, yeah,
about what God's doing, and they're being a part of it.
Right, right.
And so you can't cast out one to gain the other.
No, I think it's a huge
mistake.
And
you've got to be very conscious of the fact that you don't communicate that by your actions.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Because I know pastors who've said, we're going to reach a younger generation. Well, they've got music people, for example, that have served for many, many years.
Right.
And they just say, well, you can't serve anymore.
Right. It's not biblical.
That's not right.
Yeah.
You know, that's not right. And so they stick a younger group up there. Well, you've already started messing with your core of
sure.
people.
Yeah.
And then the people who are there don't even know why.
Right, right.
So you've got to be careful about that, because there is a way to blend.
There is.
And allow everybody to participate.
Yeah.
And like you said, you want to lean it in a certain direction, because, to be honest with you, if you don't lean toward the younger generation, you're not going to be relevant in
that's
a few
true.
Years.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You know.
Yeah.
It's just like one church smaller church I was ministering in, and they didn't understand, you know, they were the pastors were in their late 60s.
Right.
And they didn't understand why the church wasn't growing.
Right.
But everything was relating to those people in their late 60s.
Mm. Mm.
No wonder young people weren't coming.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, the music was related to them. And they all, the people that were there were comfortable.
Yep.
But the problem is, you become a one-generational church like that.
And that's sad, Pastor Sam, because it doesn't have to be that
no,
way.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. And the sad part about it is that happens more and more.
Right, right.
But what I have noticed, John, in recent years is that more and more churches and even denominations are recognizing, you know what? We have got to touch this coming generation.
That's right.
And they're making changes. Now, some of them are making changes by having alternative services.
Yes, yes.
Which I'm not sure that'll work. Maybe it will, maybe it won't.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I wouldn't be a fan of that.
Yeah,
though.
I agree with you. I'm the same way. I wouldn't either. But here's the thing. I followed and was mentored by two men that were 30 years older than me.
Right.
Okay. The reason I followed them is because they invested in me. They valued me.
Yes.
Now, I don't mean that like I was some hot shot. I'm talking about, in general, they valued a younger generation.
Sure.
And because they valued that younger generation, that younger generation was attracted to them.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that's the key. Is you have to realize that
it's excellent.
You have to value them.
Excellent.
Not well, I got to have them, but value them.
That's excellent. Yeah.
Value their input. It was amazing to me, and because I always wondered why certain churches were successful when churches with the same capabilities weren't, and that was part of it.
Wow. Yeah.
They had their youth group.
Yep.
But their youth group was separate from the church.
Right.
Not only was their youth group separate from the church, they were never integrated into the church.
Right.
And so when the youth group graduated from high school, they hit the road.
That's right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, as you said earlier, Pastor, we're working really hard on that here just to make sure that we are not just multi-generational in our statements, but when you walk in on our weekends and you're around, you see that we are not just talking about it, we're doing
exactly
it.
Exactly right.
You know, there's a practical thing that that you could do, and I think is really, really a pretty easy step to take, and that is, you know, when you're taking your teams, you look at your teams, and you have your whoever's leading those teams. A lot of times it could be that more seasoned person that's been there a while.
Right.
What you can do is you can take somebody from that younger generation and let them co-lead.
There you go.
So they can co-lead together. That way, when those younger people are coming into that team, they see someone from their generation and they can be a part of that. So it's just some small things like that that I think that you can do that are pretty easy. It's not very difficult to do things like that, but really help blend those two generations. Because I'm convinced it's not biblical to have two different generations. I think they should be
connected. Yeah, I agree, John. Absolutely. Look, you're going to always have different thought patterns from different generations.
Oh, sure. No doubt.
And so that's just part of it. But to be honest with you, it's really on the older generations.
Yeah.
To be accepting and receiving of the younger generations rather than making them accept what you do.
Right, right.
You've got to be more accepting the other way around.
Right.
And if you're not, then you're not going to have young people.
Right. Well, I think, too, if you will value purpose, whatever your purpose is, whatever you believe your purpose for your church or organization is, if you value that over preference, it'll always help you always lean towards keeping it multi-generational.
I believe that the future of the church is multi-generational.
I agree.
I believe it with all my heart.
I agree.
I believe there's a place for everybody, and I don't mean that like that's a slogan. That's an actual fact.
It's reality.
If young people come in the church, they can feel like they can participate, they can be involved, they can serve, they can do great things. The older generations are happy because they see the energy of the younger generations, and they can encourage them and build them up.
Right.
And not complain about the way they dress or the way they look, you know, that type of thing. So I really see that happening, and I believe God's going to do more of that in time to come. So hopefully that helped you a little bit.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
And we want to help you, and we want to answer questions if we can. I just want to mention, again, we have people who have emailed us since we started this with questions, and we will be happy to answer those. Just give us some time, and we'll try to get to those, and we'll just stay on this for a while till we get some of these questions answered.
Absolutely. I love this.
God bless you. Glad to have you with us today. Look forward to our next time together.
God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today on the podcast. The Leadership Podcast is part of Word of Life Ministries in Shreveport, Louisiana. You can connect with Pastor Carr or Word of Life Ministries on our Facebook, Twitter, or at our website, wordoflifecenter.org.